All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Everybody, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Unfortunately, we're skating shorthanded this week. Our captain from the original six, Fraser Smith, his father passed away. So please keep our captain Fraser in your prayers and thoughts. And super, you know, he's just the greatest guy. So if you see him on the street in Detroit or back here in LA, give your condolences. And we miss him and we offer him the best. And sad thing. But now we got to move on. The games go on. And we have a very prestigious guest in here today.
He didn't show, but I'm here.
No. A comic who still laces him up three times a week. The wonderful Paul Gilmartin is in the house. Yay, Paul's here. And a Blackhawk fan, so we know how much we love the Blackhawks. And he's wearing his Blackhawk jersey. Oh, look at that. Oh, and the shoulder
emblem.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. Showing his stripes early.
Very few people recognize it here in the States, and I was in Toronto, and every single person was like, hey, cool shirt. Yeah, Blackhawks. Go Blackhawks.
Isn't Toronto, like, as a hockey fan, isn't that just being in, like...
It's the Mecca.
Yeah, you, everyone there loves it as much as you do.
It's so nice to be able to talk about hockey with everybody. And getting to see the Hall of Fame was just the greatest.
Yes, I was just there a couple months ago.
How about Bobby Hull's stick?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost a semicircle, the blade on it. The curve is crazy.
Yeah, we always talk about, too, how he like invented the high heater and invented people, goalies wearing masks because of Bobby.
Because of him. And just think about that period of time between when the curved stick was invented and the goalies got good protection. I mean, even just below the face, the protection they had was, I can't imagine the pucks those guys took. A friend of mine tells a funny story. He was in New York, a much older guy, and he was in New York, I think, in like the 60s or 70s when Gump Worsley was, I think he was playing for the Rangers. And either that or he was in town visiting. But there was a bar next door to Madison Square Garden, and there was a carpet. They would roll a carpet out between periods for Gump to walk from Madison Square Garden to the bar. And he sees Gump sitting at the bar with all his pads on doing shots. And my friend goes, you know, he could see that my friend was looking at him like, what's the deal? Gump just turns to him and goes, it's rough out there.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that?
Look at Paul starting off with a great story. He's a plus one already. We'll have to tell that. We'll be telling that one forever now.
It's rough out there.
Yeah.
It's rough out there. The Rodney Dangerfield of goaltenders.
Well, I mean, you know, I want to say I see him right now, but he's a Penguin assistant to the GM. Played for the Boston Bruins. He was the last guy. He played all 72 without a mask.
Gumpton?
No. Oh. I just can't spit his name out right now. I'm EJ. I see Eddie. It's Eddie. I think his first name. Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
I think he played the 70 season, all of them without a mask. So that's pretty
crazy.
Much the modern era.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, as someone, but you know, I mean, people thought the first, here's Paul still laces him up three times a week. So he's actually been in the later stages of our little comic league. He's one of the ringers that moved all the rest of us out. But here's how easy that league used to be. The first time I went there, I had nothing but rental skates and a stick. I didn't even have a helmet until like week three when Ian Bag was like, you want to wear a helmet? He's like, you can have mine. So that's how laissez-faire that league was.
Wow.
I had nothing, no pads, no, just out there doing it.
Those are fun too, you know, a little shinny.
Yeah, well, that's why. That's all I can do. Because, like, literally my last week I played there before my back really went out was Steve Byrne. Steve Byrne. Mm-hmm. He would hit me in the butt with his stick, like, come on, we're going this way. Like, I could barely make it on sides. Like, I just kind of played in the neutral zone.
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of my last...
Like a tennis game, just yeah. watching. Head to the left, head to the right.
Yeah, I think I touched the puck like three times.
Yeah.
You know? But we've been talking before the show. We'll get into some Olympic hockey, and we'll talk about the Blackhawks.
Sure.
So we're talking outside. The studio was, we're in the dead zone right now. There's no hockey except what I did. I watched the women. I watched Germany versus Russia yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was the women, and it looked pretty good.
I watched the United States women against Switzerland last night, and I know Switzerland wasn't much competition for them, but oh my God, can they move the puck? The United States women team, they're so fun to watch. They're some really great players on that team, and who can shoot hard. Some of them just rockets from the point and just really hard wrist shots. And
it looks like the men.
It does.
I mean, it looks way more like men than women's basketball or women's softball or baseball or anything like that. Yeah, it was really, it was impressive, especially when it was 1-0 Germany going into the third.
Yeah.
And the Russians were tight. It was fun. The funny thing was, they said one of the Russian players was pregnant.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, they said she was pregnant. And that made me thinking of this joke. Does that mean that... If she's pregnant, does that mean they're on the power play? Or are they shorthanded? I couldn't figure out if that's an advantage or a disadvantage. But imagine playing pregnant.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
That is commitment.
Yeah. Only in the female can be pregnant and play. But that's how much they... That's the love of the game right there.
It is everything.
I'll risk my newborn.
Everything is right.
For the silver.
One of the pickups I play in on Friday night is... run by a Russian guy. And so the last week that I played, everybody on my team was Russian and they were all speaking Russian. And so I was like, hey, what's Russian for nice pass or nice goal? Because I wanted to be able to communicate with them. But
right.
They're one of the guys is in Sochi, right? And the guy that runs it is in Sochi to watch the game.
Did they run the Russian five? Like they just like passed the puck around and never, no one ever touched it.
No, it was pretty American.
Was it Americanized?
Yeah, it's pickup, so it's just it's your basic pickup.
Well, we talk about that a lot on the show. Is the different the European versus the Canadian or North American, where we say that European hockey, Russian hockey, is so much more of a flow and kind of more talented hockey. American hockey is very much a dump and chase, and who's the bigger prick in the corner kind of hockey.
It really is, and I prefer the Russian style of hockey. You know, although certainly playing the body has its place. You know, and as a defenseman, I have to be able to play the body against kids and stuff like that because they're faster than me. You know, there's so much that you can do as a defenseman that, like, when I see people playing defense and they don't have their stick in one hand, in other words, when they have their stick in both of their hands, I just want to smack them and go, what are you doing? You're losing the opportunity to use your forearm to slow guys down, to move them away. There's so much that you can do.
You are literally from the clutch and grab era.
No, I don't clutch and grab.
You're a throwback to the...
But I don't clutch and grab.
I have a free hand to hold somebody back by the jersey.
I don't hold, but you can nudge them. You can create space for yourself. There's so much that you can do. You know, I like to say that the body is mandatory. The puck is optional. Because if you can... push them, if you can clear their pathway, get in the way, not hold, but get in the way, it doesn't matter where the puck is.
When they have the puck.
When they have the puck, okay. is what I mean.
All right. Because the other way is creeping back into our game.
Yes. No. And I hated that era of hockey. I actually stopped watching it.
It's creeping back in, though. We'll get to that a little bit later, because let's talk right now about the Olympics, since we're in the Olympics.
Yeah.
We'll spend a lot of the end on the NHL, the part two of the season, because we'll talk about that in a second. But so who do you like in the Olympics? Who in the men's side? Who do you?
You know who I think might be the dark horse is Sweden.
Oh, you're going with Sweden.
I know. You know, of course, I'd love to see America win, and I think they have a chance. You know, you were saying that you think the American goaltenders aren't playing that strong, and yeah, that might be true, but I like their chances. They don't have a lot of pressure on them. Any pressure they have, I think, is self-imposed, whereas Canada and Russia, you know, pressure can really make your legs a little rubbery, at least for some of the guys.
I think Sweden is a very safe choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's I think if you box Sweden, like I think if you
if you box it, I think
that they're definitely going to. I think they're in the top three.
Yeah.
I just think that I like Russia. I like Russia. I think they're putting all their. I think it means a lot to them. I think a lot of those KHL guys, they have something to prove. Yeah. Against the NHL guys, seven of the fours.
I'm surprised how many KHL guys are playing.
Yeah, they're going to put all their eggs in one basket, and they're going to have Ovechkin and Malkin on the same. It hurts them that suit is hurt right now, because I think Datsyuk's one of the five or six best players in the world.
So I'd say one of the top three players, and playing all 200 feet of the rink.
Yes. Yeah, no, I totally.
He's always up there in takeaways. And,
yeah, and plays the whole. It's one thing to be able to be one of the best 200, but I mean the best top three in the whole 200. But it's another thing to actually do it
consistently.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, Malkin is playing ridiculous this year. It's like when Malkin's the best player on the Penguins always have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
They do. It's unfair.
Like Malkin is.
They have Malkin and
you know,
Crosby.
He's playing amazing, and I think that their goaltending, Bobrovsky, I think I said it right,
yeah.
And Varlamov are just playing amazing.
They're pretty
good. And that really makes a big difference to me, and I think the Canadian goaltending is a mess.
It is a mess. It's like I saw who they picked, and I was like, I guess they don't have any more.
Well, they didn't want to take Fleury because Fleury's had abominable postseasons. And as a Penguin fan, I'm happy they didn't take Fleury. But Fleury's better than those three, but he could have a meltdown. He could have a meltdown.
I got to say, though, Carey Price, I don't think has been playing necessarily badly. It may be a little mercurial, but he's had some amazing games.
I completely agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that he's had some clunkers too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the thing in the Olympics. You can't have any clunkers. If you have a bad night, you're gonna get a suntan against some of these teams. My problem with the American team is the goaltending. And I think
I disagree. I think Quick is playing well. He's so athletic. I don't know about Miller, but and Jimmy Howard's a solid goaltender.
Well, I think they've all had bad years. I think Jimmy Howard's arguably had a bad year, and I think the other two, Quick was hurt. He's come back. He's had five good games, five bad. I mean, the top. If you want to go against the top, and what's the top end talent doing? Well, Sid and Gino scorched Quick, and they scorched Miller. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. that's and Varlamov basically stood on his head against the Penguins. The Avalanche beat the Penguins. In Pittsburgh, shut them down.
Yeah.
It's the first time the Penguins all year, it's like in the fall, but it was the first time all year that the Penguins looked like, oh my God, they might not score.
Do you credit the reemergence of Colorado to just their team growing or to Patrick Waugh?
I think both, but I think that the reason why they're growing is because of Patrick Waugh, because I think I picked them 10th because I thought they have so much young talent and they're like maybe one or two guys away from making a playoff run. I didn't know that Waugh would come in there. you know, basically throw the plexiglass at Bruce Boudreau and just
that was awesome
and light a fire under their ass.
What a great way to start the season off! It's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
this guy is gonna be like he was as a goaltender.
He's in it to win it, and then if you look at
he's calmed down since then. He hasn't really seen when they went on that terrible losing streak. I was really surprised at how calm he was behind the bench. I thought, oh, this guy's going to burst the vein.
And Varlamov, I mean, you can't beat good goaltending.
You can't.
I mean,
there's
Varlamov has played fabulously.
I mean, how about Scrivens? 59 saves.
Oh, yeah, that's the Kings' demise.
Shutout.
That's the Kings' demise right now is because they traded. Well, we'll do the NHL in a second. I just want to get back to the
Olympics. Okay.
Because my thing with America's team is I think they're good. I just think that I think their goaltending and their defense is a little weak in the back end. I think Orpik is going to be exposed as the Penguins have been trying to hide like an international secret that he can't skate backwards anymore.
Really?
He's not very fast backwards. He's getting beat. He's been beat more this season than he has all year.
Who do you think they should have had instead of him?
Oh, that's tough. Hell, I would have taken Matt Niskanen on the Penguins.
He's
a Minnesota boy, yeah. I mean, I would have taken anyone on the Penguins over, the Tang is a Canadian, but
is Eric Johnson on the team?
Jack Johnson, I don't think made the team.
No, Eric Johnson.
I don't know. I haven't looked at a complete. Even though
I'm pretty sure Jack Johnson's not. But by the way, there is no active player with a worse plus minus than him. A career plus minus. His career plus minus is almost negative 100.
He's good in those international games, though.
He's
one of Sid's best friends, so he's always rumored to be traded to the Penguins. I'm always like, I don't really want him. But then he does good in the Olympics, or he does good in international competitions. But I'm not the biggest Jack Johnson fan, but he's pretty quick for that big ice. I know I'm making my prediction from – haven't seen all the rosters yet, but I'm just looking at the top end. Yeah, I just think the – or. I don't know, but you can't count out. Thank you. You can't count out Coach Disco in a short tournament. Dan Blausman can put these guys together, and I actually think the Americans are going to go. I think the Americans are going to get silver. I think Hannah's going to be the one in disarray.
Yeah,
for some reason. Yeah, I do. I don't know. I think they play so many mind games, and I think over there Canada never wins on the big ice. They've never won a cup on the big ice. They've never won gold on the big ice. Their two golds have been on NHL size ice.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I just assumed all of the Olympic ones are on big ice. But yeah, in Vancouver they played
small ice, and Salt Lake City was NHL ice.
Oh, I never thought about that.
And the Americans have never won on anything but U.S. soil.
Oh, maybe that's why they have so many KHL guys. Do they play on bigger ice?
Oh, yeah. Well, everywhere except North America plays on Olympic ice.
I would love, the game has changed so much in the last 20 years with equipment being lighter and conditioning being better. I would love to see them make the rinks bigger, but the owners will never do it because that means a loss of prime seats.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, I think North American people like the hits. I think I do too,
but I don't know. It's I suppose I like both styles. Just anything but going back to the 90s era of mugging people and it not being called. Have you ever watched the 72 Summit series?
Yes.
The third period muggings in that because the refs were afraid to make a bad call.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Guys literally tackling each other and the refs not calling it.
But, that happens almost every Stanley Cup playoffs, too.
I was thinking of the 87 Canada Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but 72, they did it, too.
I mean,
Bobby Clark broke a guy's ankle.
Right. Yeah. The Flyers did that in the regular season, though. I mean, it's always been... The whistles are going... We talk about the Olympics first. We'll go back to the NHL. But the whistles are going away now. The whistles have already been put away since Christmas. There's been much more clutching and grabbing and interference.
I haven't noticed.
No, yeah.
Well, because I pretty much just watched the Blackhawks and nobody can catch them to clutch them and grab them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're doing it to Sid. Maybe that's why they need Duper on that line. because, you know, Sid, our Sid's main man got hurt, Pascal Dupuis. Mm-hmm. So they've been they'll be looking for a right winger now forever. But, yeah, they're doing it to Sid and Kunitz, that line. They can't do it to Gino's line because he has Neil and Juicy. So you need, you know, but
there's Juicy?
Juicy Jokinen.
Oh, okay.
Playing fabulous for us. He came over on a waiver wire. Like, for Carolina is still picking up his paycheck, or half of it. And he scored a hat trick against him.
Oh.
Beginning of the season. I use this joke on the radio in Pittsburgh. I'm like, that's like getting a dildo and your wife turn around and use it. Okay, I'm going to use it on you. It's like you're paying for a guy who gets a hat trick against you.
Ah, that's tough. That is tough.
Yeah, no, it's definitely creeping back in, and they're going to, you know, they're not, and it's almost like, well, you have Crosby and Malkin, and, you know, they're going to clutch and grab you. It's the only sport where they cater to the farm boys of Alberta and not the superstars. Mm-hmm. You know, you started knocking Jordan, well, they started calling everything. You knock Sid and Taze around, it's like, oh, well, you know, we want to give everybody a chance. It's so ridiculous. Don't you think?
I just don't, because when I compare it to the 90s and the early 2000s, it just still feels like a different game to me. I think they're still pretty good about calling hooking. The games that I'm watching, I'm not seeing it.
The hooks they do, what they're not calling is the defenseman, which this is your expertise, mm-hmm. coming over and slowing down the guy in the forecheck. And they're not, because they're trying to make take those concussions out of the way.
Yeah. Guy away from the puck.
Exactly.
I'm not seeing that. But
yeah, that's what has crept back in. The on the dump in, the one defenseman coming over and just kind of getting in the guy's way, just the old school way.
Yeah.
Which they took out that first season or two after the lockout.
I see them do that to the guy that dumps it in, because you're allowed 1 second, you know, to get in the guy's way, just like a light check.
Right.
You're allowed to do that.
No, I understand that. I'm talking about the
auxiliary guy coming in.
Exactly.
Maybe I just haven't paid attention.
Yeah, I mean, I've been paying attention because, you know, I just been paying attention. So, but yeah, it's definitely crept back in. It's not at Mario Lemieux, it's a garbage league level in the 90s.
Maybe it's an Eastern Conference thing, because I'm not seeing it.
You know what? And it may be some of that is true, maybe, because I think in the West, I think the teams are more evenly matched, where I think in the East, I think everyone's just geared up to stop the Penguins.
The top three teams.
Yeah, well, basically, I think, let's all get into it now. Now we're in. The gloves are off.
Who is there in the East other than Boston and
nobody, in my opinion.
Pittsburgh.
I think Dan Girardi, defenseman for the Rangers, can tip the balance. Because if he doesn't sign, he's on the trading block. So the Rangers will never trade him to Pittsburgh. But we're not that we need him per se. But if he goes to Philadelphia, they become a contender. If he goes to Montreal, they're a bigger threat. If he goes to Boston to replace Seidenberg, that's huge. If he stays in New York, then New York has a chance to be a shit disturber. But I really think there's only two teams in the East. Now, I think in the West, I always said there was four teams that could win the Cup. Now I have to say I have to give the Blues their due. I have to say there's five.
How could you not?
Because they never score enough goals when it matters, ever.
But they get better each year. They have the best plus minus in the league. And they have three games in hand. By 10 goals, they have the best plus minus in the league. They're plus 60.
That's what I said. I have to now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying I still deny.
But it's like you just decided it yesterday, and I'm like, they've been great all year.
Yeah, I know. And it took me until about a couple weeks ago to be like, you know what? I have to – I can't poo-poo them out of hand.
And they can play – they're the full package to me, and I hate to say it because they're arch rivals, but they can play physical. They can play a finesse game. They're so well coached.
And I hate Hitchcock. God, I hate Hitchcock.
Apparently, players hate him too.
Or
he burns them out. They may like him in the beginning, but.
Well, he's the one that started everything of Crosby being a diver. And Crosby's never took a diving penalty his whole career. But when he was the coach of the Flyers, he's the one that originally started all that. And to me, he stole his cup from Buffalo when he was the Dallas coach. That's how he got his cup, is when they, you know, gave Brett Hall the goal after they waved off about 100 Sabres goals in that series. So, you know, I just can't stand Hitchcock. And I don't like his style of play. I don't like the guys on their team. I mean, I respect Backes. But after that, to me, they're just a bunch of thugs. Not thugs per se, but just a bunch of big bodies go around and can't really play when it matters. I think their defense is slow. I think they're big guys that are slow. And that's why I think teams like Chicago and the Kings just kill them in the playoffs.
That'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see.
I mean, the Kings won two straight playoff series against them. But now the Kings are also down now because they can't score any goals right now.
Shocking.
I know. And they admit the games. I've been going about once a week all season, the games. It's like someone put the glass wall on the net. It's like you're watching them make these pretty passes. They get down and they shank it off the – or like, how did that not go – literally with fans, like, how did that not go in?
Well, are they getting shots on net?
Yes, they are. They blew two chances. I mean, they had Scrivens. They traded him. He just set the modern era record for saves. When they get back for him, a draft pick. You know, beginning of the year, they had their preseason. They traded Bernier to Toronto. Great backup goaltender at the time. What they get back, Matt Fratton. He's a skirt. He's like a healthy scratch. He hasn't. I could do him on the ice. Like, I could be him on the ice. Skater. He's like the Ice Capades. You know, it's like, and now they're two. Now they have to trade someone that matters off the team to get scoring. Richards has been down. Well, Richards didn't even make the Olympic team. But you see Kopitar. Hey, they had Kopitar, Carter. Like, they should be scoring goals.
They should. They should. It's
for the last 3 weeks, the only one that scored was Kopitar. There was 2 weeks, the only guy that scored was Kopitar.
Like two seasons ago, he was the Hart Trophy contender.
Oh yeah, well, I he's West Coast Malkin. He's just a hair behind. He's a hair less quick, less talented, but he's a better defensive player. Although Malkin's played good defensively this year, I think the Kings and the Sharks are Chicago's biggest rivalry. Not rivalry, but I think the Sharks can do something this year
against Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
Well, go ahead. Let's disagree.
The Sharks have always folded against the Hawks when it matters.
Well, they fold against everybody when it matters. That's why I think this year could be the year that they don't.
Well, I mean, because nobody expects the pressure is off them because everybody thinks they're over the hill.
Yeah, and they passed their first. Last year they actually won a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, well, they did it already. They did it once.
Yeah.
And they got Kennedy from the Penguins now, who's kind of a big game scorer. Like he kind of knows what it's about. And they got that Thomas Hertl guy. Mm-hmm. He's an X factor. I think the mix just changed a little bit there. Where I think that they might. I'm not saying that they're going to beat the Blackhawks to win the West, but I think they could make it to the semi. They can make it to the Western Conference Finals.
I agree.
Like, I think they could maybe beat the Kings.
And the Hawks probably will face them. I think the Hawks are either going to face them or Colorado, because I think it's pretty much locked up right now that the West is either going to be won by St. Louis or Anaheim, and the Hawks will probably be third, so they'll face number five?
Well, you know what they're doing.
Six?
You know the playoff thing changed now. Where it's like, are they going to go back to the old divisional series where it's like you got to get out of your division first?
Oh, so they're going to have to play the Blues.
Well, not if they're first. No, because it'd be first and fourth play and then second and third play. So they probably wouldn't.
Within the division?
Right. So they would play. Right now, Chicago plays Colorado. And St. Louis plays Minnesota.
Colorado's played really well against the Hawks.
But I think that's one of those things where just experience in the Hawks could. They play up to their competition. Like, all the big games they've had to,
and they're a comeback team.
But they're all, you know, they take off a game here and there, and it doesn't matter. All of a sudden, like, oh look, so and so is 3 points behind them, and then all of a sudden, Kane and Taves take off, and then it's like they win, and then it's like, yeah, no, we're still that X factor.
They have that. You know how Michael Jordan had that X factor where you're like, it's okay, we're down 10,
right?
We got the guy that has been blessed by the gods.
Oh, 100%. That's why and they did it right. I say this every week when we talk about how you put teams together. In like last year, the semifinals, there's four teams that all won the cup in the post-lockout era. Every other team kept all their guys around. Hey, we're all friends. It's a party. Blah 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 blah. What'd the Hawks do? If you weren't in the top six or seven guys, you were gone. Yeah. You need hungry third and fourth liners.
And their farm system is so good.
Oh, yeah, look at Saad. He's like 20. He's amazing.
And now they got Brandon Peary coming up who's playing great.
They really did it right. I mean, like, I think Anaheim probably on paper then has maybe the second best team of the Hawks, but I never trust Barbecue Boudreau in a play. He never wins a playoff series.
No.
Name a playoff series he's won. I mean,
Washington is certainly.
Yeah, he never won. I mean, he might have won a first rounder against whoever. But
some of those guys have won a cup, you know, Getzlaff and Perry.
Yes, but I mean, he was there. I mean, he did, you know, but last year they did a good team. They didn't do it. I mean, you know, I think their defense, like, there's a guy that if they had Girardi, I mean, I think their defense is a little weak because the playoffs, you can't hide people in the playoffs. It really comes down to your weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the year that we lost to Detroit. Scuderi was just becoming a regular, and he was getting every time the third line would be out against one of the big Red Wings lines. It'd be like they would ace us. And then next year, what happened? Scuderi became like a god who actually came to the Kings and helped them win a cup. And it's like we didn't have any weak links on the back end because they get exposed in the 7-game series. If you don't have six really great defensemen, they get exposed. And I just think, I think that Anaheim, I think their defensemen would get exposed.
The Hawks have a pretty great defensive core.
An underrated defensive core. I mean, Johnny Oduya is a great defenseman.
Amazing. Yarmolson, few people block more shots.
No, that guy is under, that he's really underrated.
Really underrated.
Like, he's a great, he would be.
They knew it when the Sharks tried to get him. They're like, okay, we'll pay him $4 million.
No, he would be a number one defenseman anywhere that doesn't have
Ethan Seabrook.
Yeah, he would.
He and that's another reason why I think Sweden might be good, because those guys are puck moving defensemen.
Right,
they're active. They jump in the rush. That's why I love watching the Blackhawks. Man, their defensemen jump in the rush so much, and yet they rarely get burned if things don't work out on that play. They're so good at getting back, and their forwards are so good at covering for them. The most recent move that the Blackhawks have made that I just really question is getting Chris Versteeg back. I just do not think he is a smart player. I think he's a talented scorer, but he makes some of the dumbest plays, takes some of the dumbest penalties. And maybe I just dislike him because he did that horrible rap at the Blackhawks Stanley Cup victory part.
That would be cause for a wave, a scratch, demotion. Yeah,
I don't know. There's just something about him that, and I loved him when he played for the Hawks in 2010.
Speaking of someone who played for the Hawks, can you believe Colin Frazier was sent down?
That is a little surprising.
From the Kings.
I mean,
How did he clear waivers? First, I mean, if anyone out there listening, he's getting old. But I mean, anyone out there listening, who've ever seen the Sabres play this year, the fact that the Sabres didn't claim him or Harry Zolnarchuk off the Penguins is ludicrous to me.
Yeah,
I mean, Zolnarchuk and Frazier would be on the Sabres power play, for Christ's sake. I think the German women's team could beat the Sabres, except for John Scott.
I liked when he played for the Hawks because I felt like they had a bouncer.
Yeah, I despise John Scott. I he wants to play in whatever. He wants to play in the ECA. He wants to play in a goon league or a beer league. That's fine. But you're really besmirching the NHL I can outskate John Scott. He's really not a hockey player.
Speaking of, that just reminded me of the comment that what's-his-name made, Kevin Bieksa made when they were getting ready to play the Hawks, when the Hawks still had John Scott. And he was just like, they were like, are you intimidated by, them having you know, John Scott, or, you know, when it comes to if you guys are going to try to be tough against them, he's like, just skate around him. And I hated when he said that, but he was probably right. But I hate the Canucks.
Oh, yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're actually slipping out of the playoffs. Well, I knew when they got Tortorella, the shelf life was about.
What a terrible choice.
And then when the Sedins re-upped for like 8 more years, whatever they did, I'm like, I thought they'd be like renewing their visas to get the hell out of Canada. Like, I never thought. And then Tortorella went all Mob Wives on the he went trying to get in the locker room, you know, of the Calgary Flames. Like, I mean, Tortorella is so great that he's out there now because you can laugh at him from a distance. Because he was in New York, he was on TV every night.
Yeah.
Now it's just like you get your weekly, oh, look at Tortorella making an ass of himself.
You know, I think he's a good coach if your team is great, but I think he's a terrible coach if your team is struggling.
Oh, I completely disagree with that, Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he's a great coach if you have no one that can score and you want to turn Brad Richards into a fourth line winger. But I think if you have talent and you want people to skate and play offense, I think he's not the guy. I don't think he's the guy for you. Because why do you want – I mean, he had Richards and all that talented Ranger team blocking shots and – it's like, why are you getting people hurt? I mean, I
seems
hate
like
when
he's in a different, like he's in a different era.
He's a poor man's Michael. He's Michael Therrien, but better looking. He has a full head of hair. I mean, look at the Canadians now. I thought he would have worn out as well. I mean, I love what Therrien did for the Penguins. He changed the whole culture of the Penguins from the Lemieux Yager era. It's all the country club. We're all here having fun. To he. I mean, they are what they are today because of Michael Therrien. You know, and then he went. So they hired him back in Montreal. And Montreal, I mean, they were a terrible team last year. Took him in the playoff. I mean, you know, but he has a shelf life when people just realize, you know what, we don't listen to this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like Tortorella. People are like, yeah, I don't listen to him anymore. Yeah. I don't think Alain Vigneault is the end. I mean, all of our listeners have heard this before, but my the most underrated coach to me is the guy down there in Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Buffalo since Lindy Ruff. I mean, they're a high school team, except for John Scott. And he went to Dallas. He's immediately made them. Now they're like on the play. They're the eighth seed now. It's like I knew. I picked them. I go, he will probably find a way to squeak in. My biggest fear was that he was going to go to Philly or the Rangers because of how great a coach he was with no talent in Buffalo. He made the playoffs every year with, like, no talent in Buffalo.
How long do you think Barry Trotz is going to hang around Nashville without having any success in the playoffs?
Well, I don't think they're going to can him because I think that it's a miracle that he makes it to the playoffs.
Is it just roster, the fact that they don't have scorers? Or is he just a coach that they don't want to get rid of?
Well, both. It's kind of like Ray Shearer's theory on right now on Fleury, goaltending. How many guys get you 50 wins a season? Even if he chokes in the playoffs, it's hard to get 50 wins a season. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Look at who Nashville has, Barry Trotz. I mean, they're geared.
They have one star player, Shea Weber.
Well, they got the young kid. They got the basketball players, the rookie. Now.
I am unimpressed by him.
Really?
Yeah. I am unimpressed by Seth Jones.
Yeah.
I watched him when he played for the in the under 18. I think that's
the
what
U.S.
it was.
Under 18.
Yeah, the U.S. under 18. I don't know. He didn't seem to be playing with any kind of fire. I think he's talented, but I don't know. There's something about his play that I think the teams were smart to take a pass at him. I think he's a great defenseman, but I don't think he's worth all the hype. I think he's
the rookies this year are amazing. I mean, look at Olimata for the Penguins. He's ranked 21st. He's better than Letang.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like you know, the rookie of the year. There's like 8 guys that could win it, but it's hard to beat a 6'4" defenseman. Like him. He's going to get better.
Yeah,
and learning under Shea Weber. But yeah, they worry about goaltending in Nashville and trying to squeak out games because they can't afford high end talent.
I was looking back at the drafts of the last, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And I'm starting to understand why people shy away from taking a defenseman number one. There have been a lot of busts in drafting number one defenseman.
You mean overall?
Overall.
Okay.
Yeah. not your first pick, but like in the top five.
Right.
I mean, name the last defenseman that was taken in the top five who wound up being worth that pick.
When was the kid from when was LA's pick? That guy's great.
Drew Doughty. He was the last one.
Oh, that was a good guess by me then.
Yeah, it was.
Or once a week we have it's always kind of like stump Joe Bartnick. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Nate Craig stumped me good. He had something like, I don't know.
But, you know, I think about Eric Johnson being taken number one overall.
Yeah, well, he was kind of a bust.
Yeah. He's a good player, but not a number.
Not number one.
Not even a first round, I don't think.
Well, it depends how you value what a first rounder should do. You know, if he plays, he's in the league. So, I mean, what's the first? He's supposed to give you 5 good years, maybe?
They passed on Taze. They passed on, although he's certainly.
Penguins.
Jordan Staal.
The Penguins passed on Kane. We passed on Kane.
But Chicago had the number one overall pick that year.
We got. I always thought that it was instead of Staal, Jordan. We took Jordan Staal, and we didn't take Kane.
No, Jordan Staal.
I could be wrong.
No, that year it went.
Was it Sharp?
It was Sharp.
It was one of the Blackhawks' guns that we took Staal to have the three center model.
Because the year Taze was taken, it went Eric Johnson, Jordan Staal, Jonathan Taze.
It was Taze.
It was Taze, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's even worse. That's even worse. That makes me feel sicker. Yeah.
Certainly, wouldn't you say top three player in the
Taves?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's why I bumped Daksud down. I have Taves.
Just because he's getting old.
I have Taves ahead of that. To me, Crosby, Malkin, Taves, Kane, Daksud, Tavares. I like Tavares. Yeah. Tavares was on a better team.
He's got nobody over there.
God, he's good. He's good.
He is really good.
Yeah, and Stamkos. Stamkos is really good, too.
Stamkos play defense, though?
Not as much as all the other guys we've mentioned. Well, maybe more than Tavares. Tavares doesn't play. They all come from the Lemieux model of,
enough goals and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, team's not so good, so why waste my – like, they have to – like if Taves doesn't score, no one's going to score on that team. Or his line doesn't score, if you will.
Kane is starting to play responsibly. He's starting to play – I saw him actually run a guy down and back check and take the puck away, which you never saw.
He's playing good this year. He's really very focused. His game has completely matured this year.
Completely. Yeah. I remember last year, towards the end of the season, hoping they were going to trade him to Buffalo. That's how down I was on, like, this guy is never going to be anything other than an offensive player. And
yeah, you know what, though? Sometimes you need some of them. Like the Kings. The Kings could use a couple guys that don't back check. they could put the puck in the net.
Name a team that has won a Stanley Cup in the last 2 years who had a pure goal scorer as their star who didn't play defense. I don't think you can name one. They've got to play responsible in their end.
Yeah, well,
Ovechkin, Stamkos, those guys don't get. They just
no. I think it's a sham that people think that the Capitals are they're not a good team.
No, they're not.
I mean, like, they're just not a good team.
They got a lot of talent.
I mean, they put them on there. I think Backstrom's good. I think Green is completely overrated.
He is.
I think he's completely overrated.
He seemed like the greatest defenseman 4 or 5 years ago, and then you realized he was just surrounded with guys that were getting him the puck.
Yeah,
and
just putting up points. He was benefiting
like people that would play on Joe Thornton's line. They would have a career season, and then they get moved to another line, and it's like they're practically on waivers.
Yeah, no, I think it hurts Ovechkin. I mean, I think it hurts his status, because I think it's like they really expect him to carry that team. And we've been through this before, but, wingers, that's why my argument against Ovechkin is a wingers just don't, they're wingers. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not centers. So inherently, they're not as important like to win MVPs or whatever you want to say.
And I think it sets a bad precedent when your star player doesn't play all 200 feet. Yeah, he hits guys. Yeah, he can kind of step up and be clutch. But I don't know. There just seems to be something when your star player doesn't play all 200 feet. I just think it.
That's exactly what I was saying. I think it was 2 weeks ago when we had this the Ovechkin discussion, and I said, "Yeah, because when he hits people, it's two times he hits people. A, he's out of position doing it, or he's just headhunting. I mean, they don't have the puck.
Yeah,
so he's doing really no good.
No,
you know, when he's hitting people, it's the last thing you want him to do. You know, I wrote a whole column on it. It's like people are like, it's like, I mean, because I'm not an Ovechkin hater whatsoever. No, I get excited to see him play. I like watching him play.
He's exciting.
I like the yellow laces. He's got a cannon. You know, it's fun to watch him play, but he's not an MVP candidate because of those reasons. I enjoy watching him crush somebody? Absolutely. But when he's crushing someone, it's usually 200 feet from the puck. And it doesn't, it's you know.
He doesn't seem to be a smart player if he doesn't have the puck or the puck isn't about to come to him.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And in his defense, he only has about three good players on that team.
Backstrom's amazing, though.
Exactly. Backstrom, and I like Brooks' likes game. Mm-hmm. I like Brooks' like. Other than that, it's like, you don't win. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. They have like nine guys that are all very. That are all either rated a 9 or a 10 if you're playing like PlayStation hockey.
They're pretty ridiculous.
It's like the Penguins have like 5 or 6. You know, the Capitals got like 2. I would put a Ovechkin and Backstrom. After that, likes like a 7.
Which is why I was so puzzled. I mean, clearly this is the era of speed. When they got rid of the clutching and the grabbing. And Buffalo would be picking these guys in the first round that were bruisers. And it's like, what?
Tyler Myers, complete busts. Going back to your point about defenseman pick.
Yeah.
He was number 2 overall. Complete bust.
Complete bust.
All he did was injure a fall. He was so big he fell on Malkin and took him out for a year with his knee.
Yeah.
That's all he did his whole career.
Who was the big guy that was taken in Tampa? I forget his
Victor
name.
Hedberg.
Victor Hedberg.
He concussed.
He's a bust.
We're going through all the guys. He's the guy that really concussed Sid.
Victor Hedman.
Yeah, Victor Hedman. Yeah. I said Hedberg, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he concussed Sid. The real concussion was that, yeah. But in Victor Hedman, in his defense, he's actually a decent player. I mean, Myers is a bust.
But certainly Hedman not a number 2 player. I could see a second round. He'd be a good second round.
No, but
player.
You know what? Though, think about it now. They're playing. I can't believe how good Tampa Bay's been playing without Stamkos. He's a big part of it. So you know, it takes a while for defensemen to round in. That's why it's so crazy that like Mod is playing so great right now for the Penguins because it took Letang like 3 years. You know, talk about this. Can you believe Letang had a stroke?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and he's a great kid, and I love him for being a Penguin. But you know what? It makes us better.
Without him there?
Yeah, it does. It does. I know it sounds ridiculous, but Bertuzzo, 6'5", he's a ruffian. He's in the mix. He's in the mix. It's like because he couldn't play when everyone's healthy, and now he's playing. And you talk about Versteeg making bad mistakes. Man, Letang makes...
Is he too offensively motivated?
Yeah, and he would always say, well, I can get back. Well, I can get back. He's always in the play, and he's Mr. Turnover. They say he's the most like, defenseman in hockey. He is, because it's always a 2-on-1 the other way. I Twittered, like, you know, I go, when I have a heart attack, it's not going to be from my eating and my drinking. It's going to be from Chris Letang. This is before. Now, obviously, I wish him the best in it, but really, I think that however, Bertuzzo, and I also think we have another defenseman, a young kid. I can't whose name will pop into my head. That you know, those two guys need to play because all of our guys were hurt. And this year, people are like, oh my god, all of the Penguins are hurt, and they're still in first place. It's because these young kids were playing, and that made the biggest difference in the world. You know, you need young legs, man. I think veteran leadership is overrated in a way. I think you need young legs. And his name is, look it up for you right now, Simone Dupre.
Mm-hmm.
Simone Dupre, I think he needs to play. I think he's one of our 6 best defensemen. I think a couple guys are playing on the Penguins that aren't our top six.
Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup? You think the East has a chance? I suppose Pittsburgh, but...
No, I think Pittsburgh needs... I think Pittsburgh needed Letang to not have a stroke so that they could have traded him to get... If Dupuis didn't... If some butts were candy and nuts, if Dupuis didn't get hurt, I think that we could have not done anything and been right in the mix. Been one of the four teams that had a chance. With Dupuis hurt, they need a guy to play with. They need a guy that can play with Sid, but they also need another winger. Our third and fourth line stink. You can't win. You can't win when they
in
stink.
In the postseason, with that.
And it was one thing whenever Duper was. It's one thing when it's one thing to have the two best lines in hockey, and you say, well. Second, third and fourth. But now with...
If your third and fourth suck, it doesn't matter how good your first and second are. Yeah.
You're right, but at least we're in the Eastern Finals with that model. But now with Duper hurt, Sid's line's not one of the two best lines in hockey now. They needed Letang to be healthy to trade him for a big time right winger and a third line guy. And now they can't trade him. I like Boston, and I like Chicago, and my dark horse would be the Kings if they make a trade. If they can make a trade and get someone that can score, and Quick comes back with a gold medal around his neck, or something to that effect. Because I don't see anybody else beating the Blackhawks when it really matters. And the reason, in Boston, it's Chara. He ran out of gas against you guys. But he double shifted against people. Look, you got Malkin and Crosby. No one stops him. Well, they just double shifted Chara against the Penguins. So he did himself personally, but he ran out of gas. I mean, I'm not saying that's why the Blackhawks won. I think they're a great team.
Yeah, wasn't he on the ice for like 10 of the Hawks' last 11 goals?
Yeah, he was out of gas. He was literally out of gas.
Well, they were too quick for him, too. He was just.
Yeah.
You got to move 6'9" around. I think it's good when you're moving, but when you're stationary around the net, I think.
Well, he's great though. He's a great player. I would take Chara in a heartbeat. I put it this way: if we traded Chara for Letang, I would pick the Penguins.
And that trade's gonna happen.
If you put last year, if you put Chara in the Penguins, they would have won the Cup or played Chicago. Bertuzzo is not Chara, but he's closer than anybody else that we got. That's the thing. The other thing, the Prey is 6'4", 230. He doesn't play an evil game, but he's a big guy that skates. Penguins got a lot of puck-moving defensemen. That's all well and good until it's game six and everyone's exhausted. Then you need someone that's 6'4", and 230 that just gets in somebody's way when they're not calling it. Well, who do you like besides Chicago? Obviously,
St. Louis. I hate to say it, but they scare me. There's no other team that has Chicago's number like St. Louis.
I saw Chicago beat them this season, though. It was like
they did.
It was like the Blues' big. Oh, we're gonna. No, you're not gonna beat the Blackhawks.
But I think they've in the last 2 years they've been the Hawks' toughest opponent.
Right.
So I don't know. There's just something about them that Anaheim, yeah, maybe.
So the Blues kind of fear you kind of like the Flyers I fear. Like that would be the worst scenario.
Yes.
The worst scenario would be the Blues.
Yeah, but I think Chicago's got that swagger of we've been there, we've done that, we've come from behind.
Right.
That come from behind against in the Detroit series. What confidence that's got to give you that we came down from three games to one and won it in overtime.
They tightened up, man. They tightened up in the third period or it would have been over. It would have been over.
Yeah.
And they tightened up. Well, I always thought are you saying that Detroit is not the number one rivalry of all time? It's the Blues. I always thought Detroit was
of all time. Detroit.
Okay.
Recently, the Blues, and for hate, Vancouver.
Hate, even is it the fresh hate or like the all? It's not the all time hate though, right?
No, not all time hate, but fresh. It's starting to wane as Vancouver becomes less threatening as a team, yeah. but just for dirty, like players that you just like, oh, I hate that fucking guy.
yeah.
Whereas the Blues, it's more like you hate the whole team because
the logo,
because they play hard, whereas Vancouver was just dirty and bad sports, you know, biting guys' fingers, diving,
yeah,
the just horrible sports. I love the city
sounds
of
like
Vancouver.
Sounds like the Flyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really, like, it really
like
does.
Even worse,
when you say that, it sounds exactly like the Flyers.
But the Flyers at least were tough. Vancouver is like somebody that does something and then runs away.
Yeah, the Pat Verbeek. Yeah, that's what they say. Pat Verbeek.
A ball of hate.
Yeah, well, they say, oh, Pat Verbeek, you know this and that. It's like no, but like as opposed to like I'm a big proponent and lover of the power forwards of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Whenever Tocchet or Stevens or you know, or Tkachuk or anybody you want to, Roenick, they earned their 200 penalty minutes. It wasn't a slash in the back of the skate.
Yeah.
It wasn't 100 slashes in the back of the skate.
They were putting themselves at risk as well.
Yes, it wasn't the old elbow, no one looking, you know, stick in the face.
Yeah.
It was the manly way.
Yeah. And Vancouver is not that.
No, I don't think so either. I've never, as much as I love Ian Bagg, I've never been a Vancouver fan.
Love the city. Can't stand the team. And I may enjoy that team in the future if it's a different group of guys, but there's like six guys on that team that I have
Do the Sedins irk you?
They do.
Yeah,
they do. They're so talented, but I just think they're, I don't know, if there's just that intangible quality.
Nancy's?
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about them that kind of irks me.
Just like, you know, like
but I don't, super super talented.
Yeah. I think it's kind of weird they always have to play together. There's something weird about that.
Oh, I get it. It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, how they always know what the other guy's going to do, but
yeah, but that's why I'm a little less impressed. Whereas if it was like they what changed? One guy played for the Islanders, and one guy played for the Canucks, and they both made it to the All-Star game. I'd be way more impressed.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something of, you know. I don't know. Maybe.
But in a way, isn't that what hockey is all about? Is chemistry between two people or a group?
No, you're right. But they started together. I mean, they're twins. They started together. It wasn't like they built. It wasn't like, oh, they got drafted and they built this chemistry. Like, you know, Malkin, like Neil comes to Pittsburgh to play with Crosby, and then he ends up just lighting it up with Gino, and that's the way it is. Or you never, you know, just how it works out. Look at all the Olympic drama of who's going to play with who.
Did they have the Sedins? Did they win an Olympic gold medal?
Yeah, well,
2006.
They did.
Yeah,
Sweden won. Yeah. And well, now one of them isn't going, so that's one of the reasons why I think Sweden is not going to. I think that's a huge force of the Sedins, and then if they're broken up or one isn't going, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Well, so you're saying Blackhawk? Who's your team in the? Who thinks going to win the East? You don't have to say Pittsburgh.
No, I do.
You think Pittsburgh's going to beat Boston?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
I need
reinsurance from people who know hockey. Yeah. Not like my wife. No, they'll be Boston.
Pittsburgh's just got, I don't know how far they'll get.
Against the West? Well, I don't think if they beat Boston, well, like I was happy they were in the Final Four because I thought it was a winner. I thought any one of those four teams could win it. And I went back for game five and I went to a Pirate game. Because we got swept. I went back for you. Talking about sad. I'm at a Pirate game. But, you know, I didn't want to get swept. But, you know, I don't know. Blackhawks are, I don't know. We need to improve to beat the Blackhawks.
I think so.
I think
they're well coached and they can find your weakness and take advantage of it. Joel Quenneville, I think, is, if not the best coach in the league, certainly one of the top three.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Well, the thing is, too, is, you know, like they can cancel out Malkin and Crosby, and their third and fourth lines are much better than their third and fourth line. And that's what,
it,
you know.
That's what it was.
Because I think Boston's weaker this year. I think Boston's a little down this year compared to other years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was a sin that they traded Sagan and Beverly. I mean, that was a joke. Like, oh, he's a party. Like, who the hell cares? Like, what personal issue can you have against Tyler Seguin that makes you trade him? And Peverly. Peverly's a key cog in that team. And it's like they didn't win that at all, you know. But we shall see. And then the Olympic pick is?
Canada. I know it's.
You're going for Canada?
Yeah.
The chalk. Paul pulls out the chalk on this edition of Puck Off.
But right? I'm not counting the United States out. I'm not counting them out.
No, I think it's gonna be Russia versus the United States for some reason. I just think Canada's gonna not implode. I don't know. I think Crosby saved Luongo's bacon. I think Luongo choked last time. I just think, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. The thing about the Olympics is, as long as Malkin doesn't get hurt and Sid doesn't get hurt, I don't give a damn about the Olympics. Like, I worry about the cup.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that's all that really matters to me. The Olympics are like, what am I going to argue? What am I going to go to Poland and be like, ah, I won the cup. We won the gold medal. Like, no. I have to be able to go to Philly and go, we got four. You got two. 1975. That's all I want to do. I could care less, you know. But, thank you, Paul, for an excellent episode.
Thanks,
talking
Joe.
Straight hockey. You want to give us a plug on where you're going to be at or what you want to?
Not doing stand-up anymore. Just my podcast, Mental Illness Happy Hour.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not a comedy podcast, but it's just kind of about all the battles we have.
Well, neither is this one. Try to make it funny though. Well, and what is it? It's on a competing. We're not the Letterman show.
No, you can I'm say if independent. It's
a competing network.
No,
right?
I'm independent.
You're independent. Yeah. Wow, you're like the you're showing Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah,
maybe the old independent channels. Like, all right, and it's called the Mental
Illness Happy Hour.
The Mental Illness Happy Hour. Well, Paul, thank you so much. You were a great guest. Please come back anytime. Talking straight hockey. It was awesome. I want to thank Anthony, our producer. And Joe Bartnick, hopefully we have our Captain Frazier back. Our condolences again, and thanks for listening to Puck Off.